Greetings, salutations, happy Thanksgiving. It's Nesson.com's The Spread, Nesson.com's Football Picks Podcast. I'm Mike Cole, joined as always by Andre Kachaturian and Ricky Doyle. Gentlemen, how are we?
Doing well.
Season's greetings.
Season's greetings as well. It's turkey time, Thanksgiving. Woo!
Yeah, this is hard to believe. I know I say this literally every week, but Jesus Christ, it's Thanksgiving. Like, what? You know, you blink and I guess that's pandemic time kind of taking over. We're gonna make the picks for all of our Thanksgiving games this week against the spread as usual. And then we'll do a couple of the bigger games from the weekend, and then we'll do locks and upsets. So we're kind of jam-packing. Like, we've got a Thanksgiving feast of picks this week for our loyal listeners and viewers of the spread. Which reminds me, by the way, if you are watching this on YouTube, or if you've just stumbled across this on iTunes, Spotify, or any other place where you get your podcast, please make sure that you subscribe, rate, review, tell us how awesome we are. Really, just, you know, it is the season for saying nice things, I guess. I don't know.
It's subscribing.
Jolliness, yes. Yeah, that's a good point. The 25 days of subscribing is almost upon us. You can't see your parents, you can't see your family this year, but you can see us on YouTube, but you could also hear us on iTunes and Spotify. So please give thanks to us with a subscription and a review, and just tell us how delightful and how much joy we bring to your lives. So, Thanksgiving, guys, this is, I guess we're going to do this, huh?
This is a slate of games. And the best one is going to be the last one, or at least on paper.
Yeah.
And by that point is sort of when I'm checking out annually.
It's weird. Like, I don't have any real plans this year. It's just me and my wife. And so, like, bad football games are worse for me this year. Because at least, like, in the past, if you're dealing with family, like, you can talk yourself into – what was the name of the guy who played quarterback for the Lions last year?
Blau.
David Blau. You can talk yourself into David Blau when it beats like talking to your aunt. But this year, I'd like a little bit better. But that is what it is. We'll get into that in a second. Andre, how did we do last week?
When you just talked about your, like, just aunts in general, I just remember the Geico aunt commercial. Expired. But anyway, we had this show's not presented by Geico, by the way.
I was gonna say free ad, but that's nice of you.
Anyway, this past week, Ricky and Mike, you both went 7-7. I went 6-8. Pretty average week for all of us. Ricky, you're still leading the way with 75 wins. Mike, you're behind them with 74, and I'm trailing just behind with 72. All of us have had a really bad week that has at least once this year that has put us in a little hole, but hopefully we can bounce back from that in the next 6 weeks.
I did better than I thought I did last week, then. That's good.
I think we're coming up on the dog days of the season, though, because I feel like we're in a 2 or 3 week stretch here where it's just been right around 500.
Yeah.
This is the worst thing in the world, obviously. But
it's annoying, too, because I feel like I'm seeing the board well. Like, I felt really confident going into last week, and, like, the games I felt most confident on, I did poorly on, and I feel pretty confident entering this week. Means I'll probably do poorly on those as well. It's all a coin flip. Like, Jesus, you're right. Like, it's just, we're stuck in the mud right now. So let's get hot, huh?
Let's do it.
Starting Thursday afternoon, you got your Thanksgiving extravaganza from Ford Field in Detroit, where the governor recently put out a mandate saying, no, you cannot have fans at Ford Field for Thanksgiving. So it'll be an empty building as the Houston Texans, fresh off of their win over the New England Patriots, head to Michigan to take on the Detroit Lions. The Lions just got flat out embarrassed 20-0 by Carolina, a Carolina team that had nothing. It looks like Matt Patricia's days are numbered. The Texans come in, despite their 3-win record, as 2.5-point favorites. Total here sits at 51.5. Ricky, who do you like here?
Yeah, I think it just in good faith, like, I can't lay the points on the road with the Texans. It seems like a little bit of a buy low spot for the Lions. Obviously they couldn't have looked really any worse in the shutout loss to Carolina. But, you know, I take into consideration that Matthew Stafford was a little banged up in that game. He's got that thumb issue. Hopefully that doesn't linger into this week. Meanwhile, Houston, you know, you're coming off the win against New England, but I think that's overvalued a little bit given the Patriots' struggles. Also took, I mean, just really an amazing first half from Deshaun Watson to be able to put them in position to win the game like they did. Just no rushing attack from Houston either. So it wasn't a lot that really impressed me about that win. And I just, you know, I think about how bad the Patriots have struggled at times this season. I think about Houston's two other wins coming against Jacksonville, who obviously sucks. So if I'm just going to get points at home with Detroit on Thanksgiving, nonetheless, when, you know, they're fairly decent, which is the 81st Thanksgiving Day game for them, 37-41-2 straight up, which obviously is just the most whatever record, but given how bad the Lions have been historically, that's decent. That's a decent little straight up record for them. But I don't know. I just getting points and don't feel good about Houston. So I'll take the Lions.
Looking at this game, and it's like, one thing that helps me with Houston is the fact that all their losses have come against playoff teams, essentially. The Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Titans, the Packers, the Browns. That's six losses against really good playoff teams. And the team they're playing this week is not a playoff team. They're a really bad team that just got shut out by an XFL quarterback and the Carolina Panthers. So I'm going to go with Houston. I think Houston has enough talent, especially they have the advantage of quarterback. And their biggest weakness is their rush defense, the Texans. They allow more than 5 yards per carry, but I don't see Detroit really exploiting that. They don't really have a running attack to take advantage of Houston's biggest weakness. So I'll take the Texans.
I'm just waiting for Paige to load here. That's annoying. Ricky, I hear what you're saying, but where's this number right here? Let's see here. The Lions have lost the last three games on Thanksgiving. They're really streaky at home too. They had won like a bunch in a row after losing like a bunch in a row. But so it feels like they're in the middle of a bad run right here. And they're very bad. So that's part of the expectation here. Per CBS Sports, by the way, betting favorites on Thanksgiving over the last 4 years. 11-1 straight up and 9-3 against the spread. So let me say that again. Favorites have really dominated Thanksgiving, going 11-1 straight up, 9-3 against the spread. Detroit
didn't really test that this year. Spoiler alert.
as home underdogs, Matt Patricia 3-11 straight up, 3-5 against the spread in his last 8 as a home dog. It looks like they've quit on him. I was doing some research and looking into what the papers are saying. The Detroit Free Press wrote this about last week. The Lions played their worst all-around game of the Patricia era Sunday, losing to a Panthers team that started an XFL refugee at quarterback and totaling a measly 185 yards of offense. That's not great. Patricia now is 13-28-1 as a head coach. Lions have lost 4 games by double digits this season. Meanwhile, looks like there's some good mojo for Houston right now. And Andre, to your point, like just a brutal start to the season. They're now 3-3 in the last 6, 3-3 against the spread in there. I looked it up. They played like Kansas City, Baltimore, and somebody else to start the season. Pittsburgh. Yeah, right. They're combined like 25-4 or 25-6, yeah, something like that.
Throwing Tennessee and Green Bay in there as well.
Yeah, right. There's a lot in there. But, you know, the running game thing, they actually have had a decent running game with DeAndre Swift's been healthy. Doesn't sound like he'll play. He's got like a concussion or a brain injury or something. I guess a concussion is a brain injury, but there might be more there than just that. But anyway, when he's played, he's been, you know, good for 6 yards per touch, whether it's a rush or a reception. Adrian Peterson, just 4 yards per touch. Also, it doesn't sound like Kenny Golladay is going to play. If he doesn't play, they're 1-4, averaging just 23 points per game, as opposed to 3-2 when he is in the lineup, averaging 29 points per game. Four of their 5 best offensive EPA games came with Kenny Golladay in the lineup, so he really is a huge difference maker. Deshaun Watson is just the best player on the field. I like that I'm getting that there. When he's not pressured, he's averaging 9 yards per attempt, 81.5% adjusted completion percentage with 118 passer rating, 76 passer rating under pressure. We saw last week the Patriots didn't generate any pressure, and he, you know, he feasted. I think it's going to be a similar scenario this year or this week against a Lions team that doesn't generate a ton of pressure either. So I don't feel good about it because it does seem very square, but I will take Houston laying the points on the road here. I also think the fact that there's going to be nobody there kind of bodes well for Houston as well. I think maybe if this is a full Ford Field, you feel a little bit better about taking the Lions because maybe they get something from the home team. But I don't know. Maybe it goes the other way. Maybe they turn on them if they're down 10-0 early.
I don't know how it's possible to feel strongly one way or the other really about this game.
No, like, this game sucks. Yeah,
you could talk me into either side to be if we're being honest.
This, and I will say though, this has the feeling of like Deshaun Watson throws for 400 yards, four touchdowns, runs for another, and he's just sitting there mashing a big old turkey leg.
I was gonna say, he's galloping his way to the galloping.
And, you know, J.J. Watt gets involved there somehow too. Like it just seems. Aesthetically, this is a really great betting insight. Aesthetically, it just feels like the Texans are better suited to be eating the turkey after the game than the Lions. So
it's true.
I think it's a lot of time clearly, on this Texans Lions horrible trash games.
So clearly, Ricky, you did not consider that in your handicapping this week.
No, right? I did, and I tried to. I'm sort of trying to hedge my bets here. Just trying to, you know, that's sort of what I'm half expecting, but. You know, I've been wrong when it comes to my aesthetic bets in the past. So.
Hey, we've all been there. Anything else on that snooze fest?
No. Let's move on.
I could talk myself into that early game because it's earlier. There, you know, you're easing into the day. It's I like that 12:30 game on Thanksgiving. This one's a little tougher for me to get behind. We get the Washington football team on the road against the Dallas Cowboys. 2-3-7 teams. Two teams are just objectively bad. The total set at 46.5. The Cowboys laying 3 at home, basically just getting the home field advantage rub there. Andre, who do you got in this
one? Yeah, I don't know what you have against this game. I think this is
shut up. I mean, this game sucks. This game sucks.
I don't care what you say. There's a lot at stake. There's a playoff spot on the line.
What a disgusting division, then.
I don't know. I really like Washington. I think they're – if this team wins the division, they're going to do some. They can do some damage in the playoffs. Their defense is really good.
5-11.
Alex Smith is the type of quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over usually. This year, obviously,
he's been terrible. This year, yeah.
Yeah. Well, guess what? He missed a lot of time, and I think he finally put together his best.
Get the man a break.
And
too soon. And,
excuse me. What's going on?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to take Washington, and the Cowboys' offensive line, obviously, they're terrible. Washington, third in the NFL in sacks. He had 6 sacks in the last meeting between these two teams. Antonio Gibson had 128 rushing yards in the last meeting between these two teams. Dallas allows the third most rushing yards per carry. I can see Washington controlling the ground game. Alex Smith usually doesn't turn the ball over throughout his career, and Dallas doesn't really force any turnovers this year, so I think this is a pretty safe bet for Washington.
Is Washington just a quarterback away from being legit? Like, I mean, I know you can say that about a lot of teams across the NFL, yeah. Like given the importance of that position, but like the pass rush is great. Pass coverage is excellent.
How's their offensive line?
Good against the run. I mean, their offensive line play has been serviceable. I'd say maybe even above average.
Yeah, they're like a quarterback and a skill player away, probably, right?
Yeah, they have the, you know, a good running back tandem that can beat you on the ground and through the air. So, I mean, yeah, you add the quarterback, again, obviously a huge missing piece. But, you know, maybe in this draft where there's presumably going to be some good names out there, you're able to
– Or –
to solve that problem.
Or Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, maybe you reunite him with Ron Rivera.
Yeah. I like that.
So I don't know. You know, you get the quarterback and like you said, maybe you add another weapon to the outside because they do rely a lot on Terry McLaurin. I mean, let's look at this early. He's hit 93 targets this year. Next highest target wide receiver is Dontrell Inman with 27 targets. So if they're not using their backs, they're pretty much doing whatever they can to force it to him. But anyways, it's just kind of an interesting team to watch going forward beyond this season. But I like them this week as well. And I think that it really is a lot, you know, stems a lot from that their strengths on defense. I think that the pass rush is going to cause problems to that Cowboys offensive line, which has been dealing with injuries all year. I do think they're going to be able to get their running backs involved with Antonio Gibson and JT McKissick and sort of death by a thousand cuts that way offensively. And, you know, the more I think of this quarterback situation and sort of how they're going to bridge the gap, I mean, Alex Smith might be the perfect quarterback to sort of be their quarterback this year. Like, you're not going to get the flashy plays, but I mean, he could sort of be that, what he was in Kansas City, to the bridge to Patrick Mahomes and keep them respectable within that division. So I just think there's a lot I like about Washington, both in the long term and also this week.
I like Washington as well here. I did a lot of messing around on Warren Sharp's football stats site this week. And so is Alex Smith's been starter for 3 weeks now, I think it is. Since he took over as a starter, their early down success rate, they're 11th in rushing, 5th in passing, 3rd overall early down success rate since he took over. Explosive play rankings, 5th in rushing, 12th passing, 5th overall. That offense has been pretty good with Alex Smith under center, but they're just 1-2. Why is that? A ton of turnovers, way too many turnovers, which is uncharacteristic of Alex Smith. But only Houston has forced fewer turnovers this season than the Cowboys. Cowboys also don't put a whole lot of pressure on the quarterback. I think this is a good spot for Alex Smith here. Also too, if you're doing DFS on Thursday, maybe Alex Smith is a nice value play to put in your lineup there when maybe everybody else is moving towards Lamar or Deshaun Watson or even Stafford. So that's something to keep in mind, getting crossing all of our boxes here this week. To your guys' point, could be a good spot for Washington's ground game. Dallas defense by EPA ranked 27th in the NFL. They're 24th in explosive run plays allowed. We saw that in week 7 when, you know, Antonio Gibson had the best game of his entire career, running wild for 128 yards on 20 carries and a touchdown, and just a blowout win for Washington. So I guess there is a bit of a revenge spot here, but, you know, whatever. And also that Washington defense is pretty good, especially on third down. They're 9th, that Dallas offense, 19th third down offense. So they'll get off the field. It's a good spot here for Washington, it feels like. So I like, and this line keeps moving toward the Cowboys too, so you're getting more value.
Real quick, who do you think is the best team in that dumpster fire of a division?
Oh, 100% Washington. I don't think it's even close. Like you said, they are one quarterback away, but I think their quarterback's just fine.
I mean,
give him time. He hasn't played in a long time. He put it together his best game last week, and I think he's gonna put together another solid game against a terrible Dallas team. And they win that division, the home game. You never know with that defense, they can win a game.
It's getting hard to say Philly because of Carson Wentz. It might even be Washington and the Giants, honestly.
I was going to say, I'm leaning Washington, but the Giants, they're sort of a pain. You know, they play hard.
If you took, not to derail us here, but if you took the best player at each position from all four NFC East teams and made like an all-star team, what would the spread be against Kansas City? that NFC East team probably would be favored, but no matter what, the Chiefs would have a huge advantage at quarterback and right. head coach, honestly. So
I think the Chiefs would still be favored.
Yeah, maybe like Chiefs by a field goal, depending on where the game was, like neutral site. Because you got to think, like, there are good football players in that division. Like, the defense would be pretty sick, probably. But yes. Still.
Yeah, the defense could cause some problems. It's a 3-point game.
It's nuts. That's so bad. The NFC, you look at the NFC standings, it's awesome. It's so wide open now, especially after that Monday night game, the Rams and the Bucks. And they showed it on Monday Night Football, like the graphic, and you're just like, there are 7-3, 6-4 teams everywhere. And then it's just the Eagles like sitting in there as like 3-6-1 or whatever they are. You know, just blowing the whole thing up. So all right. Let's finish our Thanksgiving feast with a little pumpkin pie Thursday night. We've got the Baltimore Ravens coming off of a loss to the Tennessee Titans. They have to go on the road to take on Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh laying 4 as it stands right now. That line continues to move. Total set at 45. Pittsburgh rolls on. I missed that one big time last week. I thought that was a major trap game for them. They absolutely curb stomped Jaguars pretty easily too. Like, the game is just whatever. This is a weird one though, because the Ravens, I mean, I assume this game is going to play, because like, the NFL probably is not going to take away its biggest Thanksgiving game and say, nah, we're not going to have anything on primetime. But the Ravens have an alarming amount of COVID positive tests right now. So that's a bit of an issue. But let's just assume that this is going to be played. Let's assume it'll be played with a 4-point line in favor of the Steelers. With that being said, Ricky, who do you got?
Yeah, that's those are big assumptions to make. And really, it makes it tough to get a full read on this game, just from a matchup standpoint. But I think what I like about the Ravens in this is I think I like the spot that they're in. Like, I like the fact that they're coming in as the road team, underdogs, coming off a loss. Like, I think that they're never going to be valued lower than they are right now, Pittsburgh might never be valued higher than they are.
Ricky, to your point, they absolutely need this because they are technically in third place in that division too.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Seattle last week against Arizona.
Yeah, it's a pretty good comparison. Like, I think that, you know, so their value is as low as it's going to be. Pittsburgh is as high as it's going to be. You factor in the must-win factor. The revenge spot of having lost their first head-to-head matchup a few weeks ago. A game in which Baltimore easily could have won that, but really were just done in by turnovers. Lamar Jackson turning over 4 times. So I don't know. I think that I'm not even sure they're going to win outright, but if I'm getting points in this divisional matchup, I'm going to take them. One thing to note from the Action Network, road underdogs coming off a loss over the last 2 seasons, 73-50-5 against the spread. So that sort of speaks to that point of just trying to really bank on the spot more than anything. And the fact that it's a divisional game as well, I mean, that number doesn't even take into effect that it's a divisional matchup in which these two teams have faced each other recently. So, again, a lot of unpredictability with the COVID tests. And, you know, I know that Pittsburgh has really been as good as any team in the NFL, but, you know, they've had 3 layups over the past 3 weeks, whereas Baltimore has had some hard-fought games. So maybe that sort of makes it more difficult for the Steelers to sort of flip the switch in this one. But I'll take the points in this divisional game.
Yeah, you look at the Steelers. I agree with a lot of what you said, Ricky, especially about the narrative, the value being high on the Ravens. They're going in a must-win situation here, and they're kind of underhyped right now. Steelers, meanwhile, 10-0, they're a little overhyped, I guess. I don't think they're overhyped. It's just maybe in the situation, 4.5 points is a lot. So I'll take the Ravens too. The Steelers' rush defense is pretty strong. They allow 4.3 yards per carry, but that didn't matter in the first meeting. Baltimore rushed for 265 yards in that first meeting. And again, Ricky, you mentioned those 4 turnovers, and they still only won by just 4 points. I'm going to take a step further. I'm taking the Ravens. And also what I'll do is if you're betting on a site that has alternate lines and you can pick like a margin of victory between 1 and 6 points, I will put some money on the Steelers winning by 1 to 6 points and the Ravens winning by 1 to 6 points. Cause I don't see this game being any, the difference between this game being any larger than 6 points. It's going to be a 1 possession game. It's AFC North football, 2 rivals. And you're going to be getting good value with that bet too. It's usually like 2 to 1, 3 to 1, 4 to 1, depending on who's playing. So I'll take the Ravens and I'll take those alternate lines as well.
I think the Steelers might kill them. I don't think the Ravens are very good. Like, I just don't. Like, I've seen enough. Lamar Jackson there's tape out there on him, and teams have started to figure him out, and you take that away. If he's not the same dynamic, game-changing player he was last year, they're just not as good. And they've, in their defense, injuries have played a huge role in that, right? Like, Ronnie Stanley, Calais Campbell. We saw the loss of Brandon Williams. That kind of hurt them last week, especially going up against Derrick Henry. They looked good for a while, but, you know, Henry finally broke their will late. Now you've got the COVID stuff where you're not going to be without Dobbins. You're going to be without Ingram. They could have more guys come up. You know, we don't know between now and then. And that's kind of where the running game comes in. And their running game hasn't been very good lately either. They were awesome against Pittsburgh. I'll give you that. The 265 yards But since that, they're averaging just 118 rushing yards per game. They're ranked 28th in explosive run play rate since that game. So just it just hasn't been there for them. And that it's not like they've played a murderer's row of defenses either. I mean, they didn't get a whole lot going last week against Tennessee, and Tennessee's offense or defense is terrible. And I also look at this as a really bad matchup for Lamar. Like, they've done a very good job other than those that, you know, 265 yard game a few weeks ago. In his career, he's completing fewer than 60% of his passes against Pittsburgh, just 3 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. He's only running for 4.2 yards per carry. Somehow Baltimore's 2-2 in those games. So credit to them. 59 passer rating, nuts. And you know, you look at Lamar against the blitz this year, 5.4 yards per attempt, 77 passer rating. Pittsburgh, we know Blitzburg, you want to call them that, whatever, they're 5th in blitz rate. So they're going to come after him. It just feels like a bad matchup, especially where Baltimore stands right now with the injuries, the COVID, and just not playing very well. So, Pittsburgh, the more I see of Pittsburgh, the less convinced I am that they're as good as the record says they are. But I just think this is a decent matchup for them in this spot. So I'll lay the points. But I completely see where you guys are coming from. Like, John Harbaugh is a good enough veteran head coach to make all that stuff kind of go away. It's just at a certain point, like, the difference in talent kind of catches up, I think. So
I just don't think you can bank on Lamar Jackson making 4 turnovers again.
He
just lost by 4 points. It was, you take 2 of those turnovers away.
Sure, but just because something happened 4 weeks ago doesn't mean it's going to happen again this week.
Do either of you guys think that Pittsburgh goes undefeated?
No.
So
they could lose this week. I mean, yeah.
Obviously. So if they don't lose this week, they've got I'll tell you right now, to tie the last 2 games that we've talked about together, I think next week might be a nice little letdown spot to I with them hosting Washington, coming up the long week before traveling to Buffalo to face the Bills on Sunday night. That'd be a little bit of a trap game element to it. So they got Washington, then obviously Buffalo, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and Cleveland. So
there's some tough games there. They can lose
three games on there.
I'd be shocked if they go undefeated. There's a lot of potential losses in there.
Yeah, they could lose 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a tough little – and meanwhile, they're coming off over their last 3, Dallas, Cincinnati, and Jacksonville. So they've had 3 – I mean, that Dallas game was made a little more complicated than it needed to be, but 3 would should have been layups.
Sure. I just think they also might be a team that plays worse in those layup spots. I mean, the numbers back that up. Like, Tomlin as a big favorite is not great. But
so well, last 2 weeks, he's been fine.
Yeah, no, they did a good job last week. Although Jacksonville just played so poorly in that game. But they're the Jaguars. What do you expect? All right. Thus concludes the Thanksgiving portion of our program. We've given proper thanks, and we have previewed a relatively underwhelming slate of football, let's be honest. But let's move on to Sunday, where things get a little bit better, where I think this actually is the game of the week. Because of the teams involved and because of what's at stake. We've got a battle for the AFC South going down at Lucas Oil Stadium, or whatever it's called now, in Indianapolis, where the Tennessee Titans are going on the road fresh off of that aforementioned win over the Baltimore Ravens to take on the Colts, who are coming off of their own impressive win over the Packers. Both teams, 7-3, total stands at 51. Colts currently laying 4 at home. Andre, who do you like here?
I'm not as excited about this game as you are, Mike. I think it's going to be a runaway with the Titans. I know the Colts blew out the Titans in the first meeting. What was it? Just like 2 weeks ago, I guess?
It was
a Thursday night game. I don't know if I want to put too much stock into that. Titans come into this game with the second best turnover differential. Ryan Tannehill doesn't really turn the ball over much. But Phillip Rivers, he can throw a pick or two. And Titans are pretty good at forcing that too as well. So also the Colts are 3rd in yards allowed per carry. So you would expect them to limit Derrick Henry, but that didn't really matter in Week 10. They collectively allowed 157 rushing yards to Tennessee. So I see the Titans winning this one by a lot. I don't see also the whole narrative aspect of it. The Colts beating the Titans twice in the same season, two times in 3 weeks. I don't see that much of a disparity between these two teams. So I'll take Tennessee.
Yeah, I think if anything, the narrative favors Tennessee. I mean, this is, Mike, you mentioned that, you know, when that Ravens Steelers matchup, that it felt similar to the Seahawks Cardinals situation from last week. I think this is a pretty good comparison as well. I mean, a game that literally 2 weeks ago, the Titans, you know, coughed it up to the Colts. I mean, they more or less were, you know, they were holding their own in that game. It was 17-13 at one point. And then to start the second half, three consecutive offensive drives ended with a shanked punt, a blocked punt, return for a touchdown, and a missed field goal. And from there, it was the route was kind of on. Indy ended up winning, I think, 34-17. Now, will that happen again? I mean, I guess it's plausible given that there is a huge discrepancy between these two teams from a not only a defensive perspective, but a special teams perspective. I mean, if you look at Pro Football Focus, the Colts are the number one graded special teams team. Titans 31st. So there's an advantage there, but I do think it is just really tough to win, you know, two straight games against a divisional opponent in a 3 week span. Tennessee showed a little something in that Baltimore game. I mean, say what you will about Baltimore, but still a decent team, obviously. And I think that, you know, Tennessee showed a little bit of an attitude, beat a good team, the jarring back and forth at midfield. It seemed like it was the most fight that the Titans have shown in a while. So, again, it's a lot of
narrative-driven.
What's that?
You're a 7-3 team. What are you talking about?
But there's been it's an underwhelming 7-3. I mean, it's
what?
Their defense isn't that great. I mean,
go ahead. Yeah,
I think they've taken advantage of some matchups. They don't look like the team they did in the second half of last season, which obviously is difficult to replicate. But I don't know. I just think they've shown a little something over the past couple of weeks. So I'll take the points.
I'll take Indy here. One reason I liked the Titans last week was that they were going up against a Baltimore team that hadn't been great against the run and had injuries on that defensive front with Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams being out. A little bit different situation this week against a very good front seven for Indy. And one thing that I think catches up to Tennessee this week is they've got some injuries on their offensive line. You know, they've been without Taylor Lewan for a while now, but offensive guard Roger Saffold is one of the best in the business. He was out last week. Ben Jones, their center, has been hobbled by a knee injury, so they've had to kind of mix things up on that offensive line. If they have to continue to do that, this is a tough matchup to be trying, you know, messing with your offensive line when you've got a very good defensive front that's seventh in EPA allowed on running plays, third yards per carry allowed, just 3.5 yards per carry. That, you know, we've talked about this before, right? We talked about it last week. That Colts run defense is very good. So if they can't get the running game going, they become a one-dimensional team, and it's just not nearly as good when Ryan Tannehill has to win the game, especially when play action isn't part of the arsenal. You know, on the other side of the ball too, they have injuries. Jadeveon Clowney, he's on IR, if I'm not mistaken. Cornerback Adoree Jackson, he's got an injury, didn't play last week as well. I don't know if he'll be back. Jayon Brown, inside linebacker, he's done for the season. So, like, the injuries are starting to pile up for Tennessee as well. I think this is a bad matchup if that's going to be the case, where you've got a good team with talent on both sides of the ball. And it really is starting to fight in stride. Like, that Indy offense has looked a lot better the last few weeks. They're figuring it out. You know, I guess they're going to go at it without a run game, but that, you know, this is not a very tough test against a Tennessee defense that ranks last in the league in third down defense.
Mike, you're forgetting the biggest injury of them all.
What's
Phillip that? Rivers.
The guy almost won an AFC championship on a torn MCL or torn ACL. Like, I'm not too concerned about.
For 5 years, I've been defending Phillip Rivers, and you guys laugh at me. The guy stinks.
Well, it's all situational. And that had more to do with the Chargers than anything else, which, by the way, continues to look like a smart thing to say, because the Chargers, despite what you've been saying for 4 years now, suck. They still suck. So, like, it's an operational thing, too. And he threw – what did he throw? 20 picks last year? He was bad last year. He's been better lately. I'm just going off of what I've seen recently. The offense looks better. And I'm not worried about him having a toe injury. I'm just not.
I also think you're overselling the criticism of Phillip Rivers.
What do you think he's going to be?
One of us was.
Also, you think like Phillip Rivers' mobility is going to take a hit this week? Like,
I think planting your foot when throwing the ball is a pretty big deal. Also, in a guy who's very turnover prone, even this year, he has 8 picks this year.
Yeah, okay.
And they can't run the ball. They're 28th in yards per carry this year.
They're still
overhyped right now. Their defense is great. I'll give them that.
They're not going to have to score 30 points this week.
I'm sorry?
I don't think they're going to have to score 30 points this week because, like I said, I think they're going to win the matchup up front. And they're going to, it's going to be tough for Tennessee to get anything going.
All right. See what happens.
Colts also, by the way, never dead. And they're a good in-game bet at halftime, by the way. They've outscored the Packers and the Titans the last 2 weeks, 41-3 in the second half.
Which is so strange. I would think the total opposite of that team.
Yeah, probably.
You know, but built defensively, I would think they get up early and sort of, you know, eat away at the clock, but obviously not the case.
Their defense is never dead, I guess.
One thing with Titans, to your point about the turnovers, Andre, they do take care of the football. I mean, fewest giveaways, second best turnover differential.
Yeah, that's a big factor.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah, it was a big factor a couple weeks ago, too.
It was a Thursday night game. You're the one who always says, oh, it was a Thursday night game. We shouldn't put too much stock into it. You always say that.
I don't think I've ever said that.
Maybe Ricky said.
If anything, I favor the home. If anything, I like the home team on Thursday nights, and Tennessee was the home team. So, anyway.
Still ran the ball pretty well.
Sunday afternoon, late afternoon. This is a good game, too. I'll give you that. Looked a lot better before Monday night, but that's neither here nor there. The Kansas City Chiefs coming off of a last-minute win over the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders. They get to spend their Thanksgiving weekend in Tampa Bay, which is what everybody's trying to do these days. taking on the Bucs, the Chiefs in this game come in as 3-point road favorites. And let me pull up. I don't have the total here. Probably pretty high. Yeah, total is at 54 right now. So Chiefs laying 3 on the road against the Bucs. Chiefs 9-1. Bucs, I think, 6-4. Bucs looked not great on Monday night against the Rams. So, Andre, who do you like here?
I'm taking the Bucs. All 4 of Tampa's losses have come against top 10 rush defenses. And they usually need to run the ball in order to thrive. They only had 8 rushing yards collectively in their loss to New Orleans a few weeks ago. 42 total rushing yards on Monday night against the Rams. But against Carolina, for example, they had 210 and 122 in both of those blowout wins. And they had 158 against Green Bay. And that was a blowout win. Chiefs, we know what their biggest weakness is, their rush defense. So I think Tampa Bay takes advantage of that. And they get the run game going with Fournette and Jones. And it takes a little bit more pressure off Tom Brady. And I think that defense, their defense is legit. I think Mahomes will obviously get his. But Tampa's 5th in pass coverage on Pro Football Focus. I think they can limit the Chiefs a little bit and win this game at home.
Yeah, I hate the fact that I'm in lockstep with you again, but I also like the Bucs in this game. it's a team that is just the wild momentum swings this year, just off the charts. So it's almost like I just expect things to course correct when they hit rock bottom, and then when they reach their height, I expect them to fall the following week. So there's a little bit of that at play, but I just think the Bucs defense is going to be able to limit the explosive plays, 4th in explosive run plays allowed, 6th in explosive pass plays allowed. So I think it's going to be somewhat tough sledding for the Chiefs offense. I do think that there's still some issues along that Chiefs offensive line. They've had some injuries there. This could be an opportunity for the Tampa Bay pass rush to get home, create some pressure on Patrick Mahomes. I just think that, this is a, tough one to figure out. I think there's just a lot more at stake as well for Tampa Bay in this game than there is for Kansas City. I mean, the Chiefs pretty much have that AFC West locked up, whereas the Bucs, I mean, they're scratching and clawing here to not only keep pace in that division, but to get into the playoffs. So I will take the Bucs to bounce back this week.
There's a lot of danger in doing this because Bruce Arians is not Bill Belichick, but there are a lot of trends pointing to Tampa Bay this week, specifically Tom Brady, which I will run through with a quick shout out to Walter Football for laying these out. But since 2003, Tom Brady, 23-12 against the spread as an underdog, 9-1 against the spread as a home underdog, 45-21 against the spread after a loss, 15-1 against the spread as an underdog coming off a loss, and 11-5 against the spread going into a bye, and they're off in week 13. So I think I didn't double check that, but I thought I heard that on Monday night. So let's go with it. So a lot of trends point towards Tom Brady having a bounce back game. He usually does not struggle 2 weeks in a row. And the numbers have backed that up this year. They're 3-0 following a loss, winning by an average of 22 points. Brady, after a loss, completing 2 out of every 3 passes, 724 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick. Love that in that spot here. And I think Tampa Bay, kind of to your guys' point, gets it going on the ground. When they run for 100 yards, they are 4-1. Those wins, those 4 wins coming by an average of 18 points. Kansas City, 5th worst run defense by EPA. And I think this is not necessarily like as simple as, oh, they just got to commit to the run and they'll be okay. I just think like Brady is smart enough to put them in positions where they can run the ball well. And I just think that he's going to find the weaknesses on that Kansas City run defense, take advantage of them, much similar to the way that he's done in the past. I think that AFC Championship game from a few years ago really stands out. The Chiefs run defense isn't a whole lot better than the West. So I think he's going to put them in a right spot and take advantage of where they have matchup advantages. So I also think too, that Tampa Bay defense is good enough to keep it close to get, you know, early on. So like, I think Kansas City's run issues are probably a little bit overstated just because they're so good. And they're like, fine, you can run on us all you want. We're still going to put up 35. I just think Tampa Bay is obviously a much better defense, has a chance to kind of slow them down and allow the Tampa Bay offense to execute its game plan for longer into the game than a lot of teams. So I like that we're getting 3 points here, so I'll take the Bucs.
Yeah, I think I said last week that like the Chiefs are a team that I just kind of inherently lean towards unless there's something jumps off the page from a matchup standpoint. I think Tampa Bay is a bad matchup for them. Like, I think they're capable of keeping pace offensively, but they also have the horses defensively to sort of throw them out of rhythm. So I just think that, you know, this is just kind of one of those weeks where you try to figure out where the losses are going to come from. If you're, when you're looking at the Chiefs schedule, I think this is one of them.
Yep. I agree. Cool. Let's do locks and upsets. Andre, who's your lock?
Who do we have left?
My lock.
Yeah, I know.
What's that?
Nice. So what do we have left for a slate of games here? You know,
going with Minnesota over Carolina, 4.5-point favorites. Minnesota is probably not making the playoffs this year, but every year I hand out an award for the best not best bad team in football. Last year was Tampa Bay.
A prestigious award.
And this year it's Minnesota. They're number 4 in yards per play differential, number 1 in offense in terms of yards per play, number 2 in yards per carry, and number 1 in yards per pass attempt. They're going up against a crappy rush defense in Carolina. And the weakness early on for Minnesota was their defense. They also had a really tough schedule early on. They lost to the Packers, Colts, Titans, and Seahawks in the first 5 weeks of the season. But, you know, the Carolina Panthers aren't the Packers, Colts, Titans, and Seahawks. They have an XFL alum quarterback. So I think Minnesota handily wins this one. They take advantage of that rush defense. Dalvin Cook has a big game, and the Vikings, they win.
Congrats to the Vikings on their honor.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, 2020 has taken a lot from us. Thank God it hasn't taken that tradition. I'm going to take the Giants as my lock. 5.5-point favorites over the Bengals on the road, which is – this is a wild. This is wild that I'm putting some stock in the G-men here. But they've actually been much better on the road than at home. 8-0 against the spread in their last 8 road games. I just think some injuries you look at and they can – sort of be galvanizing in a way. I don't get that feeling with the Joe Burrow injury. That is a crushing blow to Cincinnati, obviously, who will now turn to what appears to be Ryan Finley, which, I don't feel too great about that. So I know it's weird to lay this many points at the Giants, but I don't really have any problem doing so. Second best team in that division, by the way.
Yikes. I'll take the Arizona Cardinals going on the road, laying 2.5 points against the Patriots, going against everything that we've held true for 20 years now. I just think we've kind of reached a breaking point with the Patriots here. And they're not very good. The defense, especially, like, I think you throw out all those first and second year, first time quarterback stats this week, like, the secondary hasn't looked very good. They got torched through the air after Kenny Stills and Randall Cobb got hurt last week. And now you've got, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Andy Isabella, Larry Fitzgerald, Chase Edmonds, Kenyon Drake, and then obviously Kyler running the show with Cliff Kingsbury making, like, that's a tough spot for a, let's be honest, a pretty bad Patriots defense. So I like, you know, Arizona to come in and take care of business. It feels weird saying, but I just haven't seen enough out of the Patriots to make
last time these two played in New England, the Cardinals actually won 20-18 and Kevin Cobb was the quarterback and Beanie Wells led the Arizona in rushing.
Yep.
Might want to consider a futures play for next season. The Patriots could be Andre's best bad football team. Cause I agree. They are, they're trending in the wrong direction. They're a bad team right now.
Yeah. It's just, is what it is. Got to call a spade at some point.
The thing with them too, is that like, is like, not only are they devoid of talent, but they're doing a lot of things that bad teams do.
Yeah.
They're just like the over-reliance on trick plays, like playing down to bad teams.
Even like the special teams doesn't look good. Like the punt returning has been an issue. Just weird stuff like that that hasn't been a problem for them in years past. So
I would say Washington is also a good candidate for the best bad team of the year, but they might be a playoff team. So we really call them a bad
team. A playoff team in your eyes that is capable of making noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
keep us updated, Andre. Everybody's on bated breath waiting to hear where this goes. Ricky, do you have a lock?
Upset. Well, I'm gonna take the Broncos because we seem to take the Broncos every week in some when it comes to this segment. So as long as we're upholding traditions, I'll uphold that one. Currently 6-point underdogs at home against the Saints. Who I think are a team that they might be overvalued a little bit coming into this, given the run that they're on. We could see some regression from Taysom Hill after his good debut against a terrible Atlanta defense. So I think he'll face a little bit more resistance on the road in Denver. So give me the Broncos.
Yeah, we were right about the Broncos upset pick last week. I'm going to take the LA Chargers as my upset pick this week. 5.5-point dogs at Buffalo. All 7 of LA's losses are by one possession. I know, Mike, you were criticizing their – you said something, the organizational thing, I guess, but whatever. It's one possession and getting 5.5 points, so that's a pretty good chance the Chargers cover there. Also, since week 6, Chargers have allowed the 4th fewest passing yards in the NFL and a 57% completion percentage. So I think they can do a pretty good job against Josh Allen. And Herbert – under pressure this year, 8 touchdowns, 2 picks, 100.2 passer rating. He's the only quarterback with a passer rating over 100 when under pressure. He's a rookie. He's not supposed to do things like that. So pretty impressive. Talking about the best bad team in the NFL, LA Chargers also another candidate, I think.
Jockeying for position.
I got to pick something. So give me the Falcons at home getting 3 points against the Raiders. This goes against all the trends too. I'm looking at the Odd Shark preview right now. The Falcons 1-4 in the last 5 home games. Also 1-4 against the spread in those games. Raiders, meanwhile, 6-1 against the spread in their last 7 road games. So this doesn't seem like a very smart pick. But I do like the fact that it looks like right now 75% of the bets are on the Raiders. And I will just blindly fade the public when I'm getting points at home. It just seems like a thing that some people do sometimes. I'm not saying it's smart, but you know, you saw last week that Raiders defense isn't great. I think, you know, the Chiefs, the Falcons are not, but I do think that the Falcons will have some chance to move the ball here, especially one more week of health for somebody like Calvin Ridley. So whatever, high scoring game, give me the points at home.
I'm going to be the last one on the Raiders bandwagon, I think, because I'm not buying into them at all.
I can't quit the Falcons either, so you and I are kind of in simpatico here on that game where it's like
– like, that Raiders defense stinks. I don't care what anybody says.
It's not.
I think for the Raiders, is just they just match up well against the Chiefs because of that bad rush defense for Kansas City. They're able to exploit that.
But yeah. It's like they're obsessed with beating the Chiefs. Like, I just get like the sense that every move that they make is somehow geared towards taking down the Chiefs,
which is why like this feels like it, to that point, like maybe there's a weird letdown spot after a loss. I don't know if that's makes any sense, but
yeah,
like they put everything into winning
going forward. Though the Raiders, they got some easy wins on the schedule.
Yeah, they'll be an interesting team come the playoffs, so I'm assuming they make it. But maybe they might be my bad good team as I give away my piece of hardware. So
We shouldn't limit ourselves on this program.
Credit to Derek Carr. Only 3 picks this year. The guy's really taking a step forward.
Yeah, I mean, and he's throwing the ball downfield too, which is interesting. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about Thanksgiving? Anything? Who you got in the fight this week, Andre?
Oh, Mike Tyson.
Is there any world in which you'd spend $50 to watch Mike Tyson and Roy Jones fight in 2020?
This world.
That's so much.
You better believe I'll be tuning into that Saturday night.
I mean, I might try to find that somewhere else that I don't have to spend $50 that you can read into what you want, but that's.
I mean, I would have joined you, Ricky, on that and maybe engaged in that devastating matchup amongst the Titans, but. You got Derek Lewis this Saturday, the big UFC matchup between fun heavyweights. I'll be tuning into that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably gonna be terrible, but I like paying money for novelty activities. And the fact that you're gonna throw in Nate Robinson on the card versus Jake Paul. Is that his name, Jake Paul? I don't even know who the dude is.
YouTube guy.
One or the other. It's either him or Logan. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's one of the Paul brothers. Yeah, sign me up.
All right.
Are they gonna have a crowd?
No, it's at the Chargers' old stadium, Dignity Health Sports Park.
Qualcomm?
No.
New Era Field or not?
No, the LA Galaxy.
Dignity StubHub Health. Field. StubHub. Yeah.
It used to be StubHub.
Oh, all right. That's cool, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah, that was the Home Depot Center.
All right. Let's go home. Well, we're actually already home. But guys, have a happy day.